All right, what do you know? It's the John Crilly, Sherry Elliker show. Jake in for Sherry. Lots of news to get to. Let's dive into the news. Dive into the news. Oh, wow. Refreshing, bracing, and just enough. Here he comes.
Talking sports with Mike. He's your go-to guy for any game or feat of athleticism. Talking
yes.
Sports with Mike. Give the guy a try, although he only got his job for nepotism. He'll tell you the score, holding a 2x4, and have the crowd cheering, begging, asking him for more. Yeah, we're talking sports with Mike.
Seahawks.
Wow, a little delay on the Seahawk thing there. So Seahawks beat the Panthers. No surprise, but yet a nail-biter at times. We watched the game. Let's do this part first before we get into the X's and O's. And Jake has a comment. Jake has a theory on it as well. You've gone to games since you were 4 or 5 years old. And I came to you sitting there back in section V207. And I said, why is everybody sitting? Were you shocked by that?
Yeah, I was shocked by that. And it was kind of the biggest takeaway as I settled into that seat. Because, yeah, I'm accustomed to, going to the Seahawks games. You stand the whole time and you're really involved in the game. And as I waited for you to show up, I sort of, when you got to the seat, I was like, it feels like we're at church. You know, it's 3rd down and 5. I'm just sort of sitting, their legs crossed. Oh, yeah, they made a stop. We'll applaud. I think my theory on it is it's definitely where we sat. That club level is kind of, I don't know, you got the diehards down front because obviously you spend $3,000 on that ticket. And then you've got equal diehards up top. They have a lot of energy, too. We were sort of sitting in this middle ground. Great seats, by the way. Friendly atmosphere. Everyone around was very nice coming up to you. You know, all is right in the world, as we say, because a lot of people recognize you.
That feeds into my theory, Rye, which is that this is all they were all quiet just because they were so blown over by your dad's celebrity.
No.
Do you think that's the problem?
No.
Like any section you guys would have gone to, they would have just sat there quietly.
No,
staring,
no, no.
Sneaking glimpses of you guys.
Yeah. I did have somebody sneak a photo of us.
Did you really?
Yeah. So that's what somebody wrote in the Facebook page, right? That in that section, that's what people, they don't go to stand for the whole game. So maybe it is that section that has a more sort of laid back, casual, hey, whatever. But, and I felt bad. I didn't want to stand because nobody else was standing. But like, I'm sorry. That's on defense. That's what you do. There were 8 false starts. And of course, you know, the fans feel they're part of that. And Coach Pete Carroll gave the 12s a lot of credit for it. But it just didn't have that. I guess it just had to be where we were sitting.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it, you know. And it's the other thing is you don't want to stand up because if people behind you are sitting and they don't want to stand, then you're obstructing their view, and then, you know, that's a whole problem. But also, if you're going to be the only guy in the section, it's not like we're just applauding, right? If you really want to go 100% at a Seahawks game as a member of the crowd, you've got to be up and screaming as loud as you possibly can. And it was a very uncomfortable at times yesterday when no one in the section was doing that. And it was literally just me and you, you know, screaming bloody murder,
right,
you know, on certain 3rd downs. So it was awkward. And as great as those seats were, I would rather sit up at the top, you know, it to really feel a part of the game more than where we were at.
Hmm. All right, well, we live and learn on that one because, yeah, I did feel bad of screaming right into that woman's ear in front of me. And because you take a big deep breath and then, like, deep breath! until either a flag is flown, the ball is snapped, and then you take a breath and just keep. I remember one time you were, like, 5 years old. And Charlie was with us. What a wasted ticket giving it to Charlie. And Charlie's like, what are you screaming for? I'm like, just start screaming. Keep screaming. But that's you should not be able to talk on Monday.
But you guys did a good job, though, right? Because defense, they played pretty well. Seahawks did pretty well. And there was a bunch of false starts. And I think you guys can take credit for part of that, don't you think?
Rye pointed out the biggest problem the Seahawks have. And he says they figured us out. The NFL they're way too smart. They know exactly where the weaknesses are for the Seahawks, and it was that longer pass, right, when they, whatever, I don't know what defense we were in, but they were able to break on that post a couple of times, and a better team would have easily had the score going the other way for them.
I don't know. The NFL, it's hard to tell if someone were to play, another team were to play us yesterday, how they would have fared. But that is true. And it's sort of been a slight defect with our defense these past couple of years is long third downs. And then specifically when teams, and here we go, we're going to get football-y, but when teams get into 3-by-1 sets, that means three receivers to one side with an isolated receiver on the backside.
Hang on.
Go ahead, Ryan. When teams get into those sets, and then when you take the number three receiver, means the closest one to the offensive line, and you put him on sort of a bang seven or an out route, for some reason we got caught with that so many times last year. Carolina hit us on a 3rd and 15. Great throw from Andy Dalton, great route by Adam Thielen. But I mean, it's the NFL. You cannot be giving up wide open receivers on long third downs. It just is something with those backside safeties who get sucked down by the intermediate routes, and it opens up that over-the-top corner route. So that was one of the problems. Overall, I think the defense did a nice job. Obviously, stopping the run was terrific. Last year, we remember, Carolina came in there and ran for what felt like 400 yards against us, and they beat us. But yesterday, they had no success on the ground. Andy Dalton had to throw the ball, I believe it was 50 times. 50 times for a backup quarterback. And that's a really conducive to success if you're going to play defense, making the other team one-dimensional. So we did a good job, especially in the second half, playing defense. Mm-hmm. And we have young guys out there at the corner positions, and you know they're gonna make some mental mistakes.
Yes. All right. Any X's and O questions you want to ask Rye, Jake?
Well, I don't know what anything he just said. I'm not a big sports person, so I wish
Sherry was here to translate.
Yeah, I don't understand bang seven or big three out or whatever you said. But what I did notice, somebody did mention yesterday, Andy Dalton has now played for 5 teams in 5 years. Is that right? Did you guys hear that?
5 teams, Chicago, Dallas, Cincinnati, and then I guess Carolina.
Is he pretty old? Yeah. I mean, he's a pretty veteran player, right?
Yeah, he's been around for a while. Carolina brought him in this year because they drafted, they had the number one overall pick. They traded with the Bears, and they drafted a rookie quarterback out of Alabama. So they brought him in to be sort of a mentor. He's a guy who's been around the league for a while. He knows, he's got all the mental chops. Maybe not the physical attributions that he once had, or if he ever had them, he was never that great, let's be honest. But he's been sort of a mentor, and with Bryce Young being hurt, which I didn't even know about until I got to the game and I saw him on the sidelines in a sweatshirt, I was like, oh, I guess he's not playing. Mm. It goes to show how good of an analyst I am. But
yeah, come on, Rye.
Jeez, get
hey,
with
guy,
it.
Hey, that guy's in a sweatshirt. He's easily going to get hurt out there without any pads on.
Yeah, Dalton's been around, and he made some nice plays yesterday. I think he played well, and we were able to match that.
Just, Jake, since you haven't been in a game in a while, just to warn you, NFL ticket prices are rising, attendance is dropping. What are the owners thinking? This is a piece from Bleacher Report. If you were to go to a game, take your kids to a game, you cannot get out of there between parking, right, and then tickets, and then food, and all the rest that goes into it. You are easily looking at, especially if you go to a Seahawks game, $400 or more.
What?
Higher than that, because you pay for the parking, you pay for all this, and it's got to be much higher than that. So if you're a real fan, people are like, and the NFL has put so much money into cameras and television because they realize, well, the real fan is going to stay home. The real fan wants to be able to watch from every single angle, and the NFL is going to get what they can from the people that are sitting there. I said this to Rye. Rye goes, I'm not going to be a monkey either. They treat the NFL, not the Seahawks, but the NFL in general, treats the paying fans sitting in the stands like monkeys. What do I mean by that, Rye?
Well, I think it's more than just the NFL. The MLB, I've been to a million Mariners games this year. The MLB and pretty much all stadiums do it. They need something to entertain the crowd during a TV timeout or between innings, if in the MLB's case. So they put up dumb games and like, hey, cheer if you're from Issaquah. Oh, cheer if your phone number starts with 206. And, yeah, it's silly. I've never really bought into it. The Mariners always, between innings, like, just put people on the big screen. Like, they just have a guy in this, like, with a camera just putting people on the big screen, and then they all jump up and start waving. And I've been on the big screen twice, and I never even moved. And I like to stand by that. It's like the guy who's just like, you know what? I will not be
just
entertained
staring
by,
dead-eyed into the camera.
Yeah, I won't be the monkey. You know,
right? You won't be used as fodder. You know,
well, when
ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the 40-yard line. Little Bobby Johnson, who scored, who got straight A's in history class, now joins us. It's like, no, I'm sorry. You're taking a TV timeout. There are way too many TV timeouts. They treat you like crap. They just try to keep you entertained as they're constantly taking break after break after break after break. And it's like, I know they got to pay the bills with the TV part of it, but they're using you to try to keep you entertained with really, you know, crappy entertainment.
Well,
there's nothing entertaining about it.
When I was a kid and I used to attend these things when they were more affordable, because it sounds like they're not affordable now. If I want to take my three sons to a football game now, what would it be, like $1,000?
Yeah, well, you can sell one of your kids at the outside going in.
Well, if I can get them there, they'll be probably stolen before we get there. It's a dangerous field, apparently. But it's a crazy atmosphere. They don't. When I was a kid, they had the hydro races. Do they still have those? They have hydro races on the big screen.
That's an MLB.
That's MLB.
Still do that.
All right, they still do that. Good. All right. Well, some good things never change.
I don't buy into that crap either.
Rye doesn't do that one either. He's not like green one. Nope. No.
I'm still here for baseball. Super into it.
Nope. I'm here for baseball or I'm here for football. So quickly, Rye. Seahawks have. Next home game, who's coming in for the next home game? We have an opportunity to have everybody stand, not just the people that are in the expensive seats at the front or the people at the very, very top. I think it's the 11th of October. Is that right? The Seahawks get another home game. But who do they have coming up away? It's a Monday Night Football game, right?
It is a Monday Night Football game. And if we're playing on primetime, we're either going to be playing Dallas or New York, and we're playing New York. It's the dumbest thing ever. They just put these terrible teams on primetime because it's a big audience. But so we got the Giants coming. They've looked bad. They looked terrible last Thursday when they played the Niners. They lost 40-0 against the Cowboys in Week 1. They did beat the Cardinals, but okay, good for them. You know, everyone's going to beat the Cardinals. So they've looked rough. I think Saquon Barkley, their bell cow running back, is going to be out. They overpaid for their quarterback. The defense has looked brutal, and the offense has looked stale. So, again, I always find, you know, I dig myself into this hole where it's like, oh, this is going to be another easy game for the Seahawks, and what do you know, it never is. But we're lucky to be 2-1 right now. That's Seattle. We're lucky to be 2-1 because we haven't executed in the red zone. We certainly didn't execute in the red zone yesterday. And third down has been atrocious on both sides of the ball. So we're lucky to be where we are and to have these two wins. And not, you know, digging ourselves in a deep hole that we'll have to climb out of. But it should be a good game on, you know, Pete Carroll always gets the guys ready for those primetime matchups.
By the way, I know Pete's listening right now. So advice in the red zone Pete Carroll. Are you ready? Jake, get ready to be lost. Get ready to be lost in a series of X's and O's, right?
Yeah.
What Pete Carroll needs to do in the red zone.
What's the red zone first? Can you tell me what the red zone is?
No, we don't have time. This is all not, right, we don't have time
right.
for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's go ahead,
Ryan. Okay, I will not pretend to be an offensive analysis or offensive coordinator, but yesterday something I saw that really bugged me is we would take these sort of low probability shots into the end zone. There's Geno Smith with these like high back five fades or, you know, these like isolation routes to Tyler Lockett on like 2nd and 10. What is the success rate of that play? It's going to be low. Now, Tyler Lockett's a great receiver. He's got great ball skills. But, I mean, is that really? I think the best teams in the league are the most creative teams in the red zone. Teams that like to spread them out, maybe get some guys moving around some orbit motion. We saw the Dolphins yesterday doing no-look shovel passes. The Chiefs have always been, you know, hyper-creative in the red zone with dancing guys and pitching it. And our idea of creativity is just like direct snaps and wildcat to DJ Dallas. Like, who is for who and for what? I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. I think I love Geno Smith, and I trust Geno Smith with the ball in his hands. If we just spread him out five wide, little 3x2, and let him work open space, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He's our first-round pick, barely used at all. I think he'd be a great red zone receiver. I don't know. This is just some ideas, some complaints.
There you go. Pete, take it to the bank, okay, when you're in the red zone. Jake?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Final questions?
I'm going to look up red zone after the segment.
Okay.
I do have a quick question.
Yards in it.
I do have a quick question. This is football related, but it's not Seahawks related. In the remaining time that we have, I was having a conversation on the newsroom about that Dolphins game against Denver, and they were up 70-20. They beat Denver by 50 points.
Yeah.
And I was asking how Russell Wilson's season is going this year, and is it okay if we are still rooting against him? Because I've heard a lot of people say, all right, he had one bad season, now we can start rooting for him again because we still like him. Do you guys root for Russell Wilson, or are you okay kind of hating him from afar?
I am on the record as being a Russell Wilson supporter, and I would like to see him do well. He did so much good for this franchise, and it's been sad to see the trajectory of his career in Denver. But he looked okay yesterday. I mean, what are you going to do? Your defense gives up 70 points. You know, it's not realistic for us to expect him to stay in that game. But yeah, we support Russell Wilson. They also put up on the game yesterday, they put up on the scoreboard, hey, look at this. Denver just got blown out by 50 points, and everybody cheers and ha ha, you know, suck it, Russ. It just
doesn't seem nice. Yeah.
But finally, what was the tweet from head coach of the Broncos to Russell about 2 weeks ago or a week ago that you noticed, right?
Oh, it was he wanted Russell to, you're not kissing babies and running for office. You're a quarterback. You know, like bring it down a couple levels with your ego and with your self-image. You know, it's not all about you. It's not all about his whole hashtag Team 3 brand.
That was from his coach?
Yes.
And that was in public? He texted that in public so everyone could see it?
He said it in public and everybody tweeted it.
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah. That's not good.
The new owner there at the Broncos put a lot of money into it. They brought in a coach that knows how to coach. He's basically telling Russell that, you know what, mind on the game, not on all the other stuff. Hmm. Right, Roller, thank you. From Section V, seat Section 207, Row V, seat 11 and 12. All right, get back to your schooling.
I will.
Wow. Yeah, there's the killer attitude. All right, thanks, Ride Roller. Appreciate it.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. All right, Nate, did you get all that? Did you figure all that? The red zone, everything else? Slam bang, releasing the ends and all that other jazz? Okay, I'll take that as a no. All righty, here we go. John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show, Sherry out, Sherry back tomorrow. Jake in there, and oh boy, Mr. Jack Stein, who drove 800 miles all the way from the confines of his little home, hovel that he lived in California.
That's right. Thank you, John.
Come to an even smaller hovel here in Seattle.
Hey, I mean, John, I invited you over to my apartment the other day, but you said you had to go hang out with Patrick Moynihan, so you completely avoided hanging out with me.
Pat Moynihan, you mean the guy from Train? I was not hanging out. I was on a plane with him, and I recognized him, and then I tried to act like, you know, I'm one of him, you know, one of his, like, hanging. And only his wife was nice. Pat was nice, too, but I could tell he didn't really want to talk to me. And then I wrote you afterwards, and I said, hey, you doing anything? You're like, I'm sick. So I guess just the thought of moving to Seattle has somehow sickened you.
That's true. Yes.
So what'd you learn on the road and had a chance to think about the big decision to move here and set up new shop and take the official duties as the 3-6 show?
I don't think
I'm sorry.
Three to six.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
I don't think I learned anything, John. I think I caught a horrible illness that's not COVID. And what I did see, though, John, is the middle of the middle, like Central California, Central Oregon, Central Washington. I can see why those people feel like they've been left out of the equation when it comes to culture or politics or whatever it might be. Because you drive through Central California, listening to local conservative radio or local Christian radio or whatever it might be, there's that's a completely different world than I am used to interacting with. It's I'm a pretty conservative guy myself, but I'm not that conservative.
Are you talking about like Bakersfield, Fresno?
Chico, Paradise, Shasta County, anywhere in Central Oregon.
Oh, Shasta, you know, beautiful.
Real. So, John, I don't think I told you this, but did I tell you that the power went out when I was driving the U-Haul?
The power went out on the U-Haul?
Yeah, so I'm driving the U-Haul, and I'm driving this just on the outside of Yreka, California, which is not okay. Eureka, California. It's Yreka, California, which I had no idea was a thing. And I had lived in California for like 30 years. So I'm just on the outskirts of that. I'm driving through Central Oregon. And my phone is my navigation device, and it's running out of battery. I go, I'll plug it in. So the U-Haul, which was built in, I'm assuming, like 1998, has been retrofitted with a little USB charging port built into the dash. So I plug in my thing, my charging cord, to the USB port, and then boom, all the power goes out in the cab. So the speedometer and the radio, all the lights are off. There is not any electricity going to the cab. But the speedometer is still working, and the lights are still on in the front of the – so I can still drive. And I'm not stopping in no man's land, right, because there's no one around me for hundreds of miles.
Wait, is the engine still running?
The engine is still running, and the radio is still going.
Yeah, I've heard of this. So what it does is – that allows you to focus entirely on your device and the road in front of you.
Oh.
It's a safety thing. Yes.
Okay, but then why did the lights on the radio turn off? And but here's the thing. The radio is still on, and I'm still getting Christian radio. And John, you know me. I love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I'm
listening. Take the wheel.
I'm listening to this pastor talk about how Satan is a gossip and how – or Satan loves a gossip.
That's true. Yes.
And it's thank you, Jake.
Amen.
And so I am listening to this guy just berate his audience about specifically the women in the audience that he was talking to about how Satan loves a gossip. And Satan loves it. If you're using your tongue to gossip, then you're using your tongue to talk to Satan. And
yes.
I realized about 10 minutes into it, I'm starting to fall asleep because I'm so bored. And there's no lights on, that there's nothing. So I'm going into a hypnotic trance. So I start talking to my radio out loud just to keep myself awake to prevent myself from falling asleep while driving because I've been driving for like 10 hours at that point. So I'm conversing with this guy as if he's you, John, as if he's
you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Right. And so I'm trying to keep myself awake through this before I get to the meth hotel, which was the worst decision I had ever made in my life, was to stay at
that hotel. Is this still in Yreka?
This is somewhere in Oregon. I don't want to say the name of the establishment, but it was the kind of hotel where no carpeting.
It was Klamath Falls, wasn't it?
And close.
I got bed bugs in Klamath Falls once.
It was the kind of – I checked the place for bed bugs. I checked it to make sure that there were no bed bugs in the anywhere, but no carpeting.
Is this Rogue River Canyon? Is that where you're at?
Oh, I'm not going
to
tell you guys.
Okay, everybody.
Everything
is – about falling asleep while listening to the radio. Let them finish.
Everything is bolted down to the floor of the hotel because they don't want people to steal anything.
The
you know, the like the convenience soaps that they give people, you know how normally you get shampoo and conditioner and body wash? This was all in one soap. So it's one, it's like what they use for horses, right?
It bolts it down. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's like soap. It's like mane and tail in the hotel room. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, what is going on in Oregon where they live like this? And it was just interesting for me to see that side of the country, because everywhere that I've ever lived in my life has always been these liberal bastions of I don't know what you want to call it, just a different way of living. And then when you're in Central Oregon, and if somebody has 70% of their teeth, it's the dentist, you know what I mean? Like, there's something that's miraculous about seeing like and I'm not trying to be like, you know, I don't know, like talking down about those people.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't sound like it.
Thank you, Jake.
No, not at all. No. What was the preacher saying about gossip? Go ahead. Satan, keep talking.
Satan, exactly. Thank you, John. But it was the most like kind of down home country people, very trusting people, very friendly people.
Sounds like a bunch of idiots,
right? I didn't get any attitude from any of the gas station attendants, and or just the nicest people in Central California, Central Oregon, and Central Washington, which I thought was really interesting.
Did Bonneville Cairo give you a moving allowance? Did you try to pocket any of that?
Well, okay, so. They did give me a moving allowance to do, but I'm going to pull the old John Curley when it comes to the moving allowance, which is that I'm saving all my receipts, and then I'm going to go to my tax guy, and I'm going to dump them out on his desk, and I'm going to say, whatever is illegal, put me right underneath that when it comes to my tax return. And we'll see. We'll just roll the dice.
There's
and we'll
avoidance
just see
and evasion.
Yes.
Evasion, you're in prison. Avoidance, you're keeping more of the money that you deserve
right.
rather than giving it to the
right.
government.
And I will say this, John, that to have been in a state where it's 13% income tax.
Yeah.
And then you come to a state where full time, where you're an official resident now, you're not just a part timer, and you get to keep all your money. That is such a blessing to be in Washington State, because I mean, the idea, I mean, I was getting taxed at something like the 45 to 50 percentile. It's insane how much yes. I pay in taxes.
Well, don't worry. The income tax is coming. They've got the imaginary capital gains tax. So they will get you eventually the income. But don't worry. We'll screw you over the sales tax. And if you're lucky, somebody will steal something out of your apartment or off of your body or out of a car that you get. One quick philosophical question for you. Having done this before, changed markets, driven from Grand Junction to Champaign-Urbana and all the other spots in between.
Yeah.
As you're driving, you're thinking, wow, this is a major life change for you to take the risk, to come in, to take over for the beloved Dory Monson, to do that show.
Yeah.
Were you thinking about that? Like, man, this,
yeah,
this is big.
Yeah, I thought about, we don't have the time to go into it, John, but we can tell. I thought about when Dory called me when I quit Cairo, and we talked for like 2 hours, and he was begging yes. me to stay. And he was like, what can I do to convince you to stay at the station? And I said, I don't know. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it at some point in time in the future. I thought a lot about that phone call that I had with Dory about how he was just so loving and so kind and was like, you're so talented. I want you to be here. You deserve to be here. You know, I thought a lot about that, you know, the 2 hours that I got to talk to my buddy about the radio business. And also I thought about you, John, and you texting me to get my U-Haul out of the left lane. Thanks for that advice, John. I appreciate that.
I love the governor that they put on that thing, so you can't go any faster than like 60 miles an hour.
Oh, it's awful. I was getting passed by 18-wheelers. I was getting passed by little old ladies giving me the ugliest, dirtiest looks.
Are you going to, now that you've moved, are you going to ever move yourself again? Or are you going to pay somebody?
I'm going to do the John Curley. I'm going to pay somebody else.
Yeah,
I don't
buddy.
Care how much it costs, and then I'm going to write it off in taxes.
Isn't it the worst?
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Well, as we've all seen the ratings for all the shows, you know, I wouldn't unpack that U-Haul yet.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. All right. Jack Stein, settle in, get better, and get that U-Haul back. Here we are. John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show. Jake, thank you for sitting in for Sherry. Sherry should be back tomorrow. Had a chance to watch the Seahawks beating the Panthers yesterday. And
that was a fun game.
Concerned. Well, yeah, great game. I haven't been to a game in a while. Rye's been to a bunch of them. Used to go to them all the time. And the one thing I noticed as I came up to Rye, he's sitting back there, section 207, row V, seat 10 and 11, is the fact that I go, Rye, what are you doing? He goes, I'm sitting. I said, why are you sitting? Why is it? He goes, everybody else is sitting. And the guy in front of me had a jersey on, old Seahawks jersey. Younger guy, I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, what are you guys sitting for? He said, his father's had season tickets since the beginning. He goes, people just don't stand anymore.
Is it because is it because the games are too long? Or
no.
I mean, that makes sense in baseball, maybe, but not football.
No, you stay on defense. Seahawks on defense, you stand.
Yeah.
You stand.
Well, you're supposed to.
Everybody, not supposed, just it was part of the culture.
That's 12th man, right?
Everybody around us, yeah, everybody around. I went like two rows down, this guy's sitting there. I said, what are you doing? Get up. Because if they get up, other people get up. Everybody gets up. And people were just sitting.
So you're running around trying to rally everyone. They think you're crazy or being just annoying because you're telling people to stand up. They just want to sit and watch a game.
But that's not what you do. When the Seahawks are on defense, you stand. So I happen to mention at the beginning of the show here, and Joe Mama says that Facebook people, what are they writing in? They're saying
There's a few different, there's a variety of comments. One, here's an actual response.
Okay, wait, hold on. To cover some of your weird, squeaky voice.
Yeah.
Andrew, some NFL music. May sound like we're doing real radio here. Here we go.
Okay, Dwayne says, I was sitting two rows in front of you. If you want to stand for the whole game, don't sit on the club level. They do that in the 100s. We stood down there in the rain for 10 years before upgrading. I happen to enjoy being able to sit and not get rained on. A couple of people.
I was Troy the guy on the end with the earplugs? That's the question.
I don't know. Dwayne, two rows up from you, apparently.
Okay, Dwayne, yes.
A couple people commented on how Rye is just like carbon copy of you.
Okay, that's not what we're talking about. That's a genetic thing.
Let's keep to the point. Let's land this.
Okay. You should have visited our section, 325, seats 21, 22. We stand up the entire game. Go Hawks.
So yes. why aren't people standing? Give me the long and short of it. Why aren't they standing?
My theory, the guy in front of me who's been going to all the games, his dad had tickets. He's a younger guy. He said to me, I think he's in the late 20s. He said, what's happened is the price of the tickets are so high that the real fans are not in those sections anymore. That it's sort of a social thing to go to the game. You kind of go and, oh, hey, look, let's have a beer, blah, 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 blah. Oh, let's sit. Oh, well, you know, let's see. There was a woman 6 rows, 10 rows in front of me. I sent you the video of her, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe Mama. And she's standing. The lady in the green, she stood. Other people around stood. And you could see people, like, when we were on defense, like, come on, guys, get up, get up, get up.
So who's all this 12th man talk then? Everybody says there's the best.
That's the 300 section.
But when you watch it on the game, they go, boy, these 12th men are really out today. That's why they have eight false starts.
Even Pete Carroll was up.
That's one section, you're telling me? Just one section is doing that?
It's the John section.
Something I noticed.
A lot of people questioning your son's taste in beer, too, by the way.
The guy, Jerry, or Jim, who sold him a beer, said to him, can I see your driver's license? Or Rye goes, I got a passport. He looks at it, he goes, wow, just turned 21. Is this your first beer? And Rye says, yes. He hands Rye the little credit card thing. Rye looks at the price. He goes, my first beer here and my last. Presses the button for $13. And one guy came by and said, hey, you owe me a beer. So I bought him two beers because he said that to me 3 years ago and I didn't buy him one. So. Yeah, well worth it, though.
But they won, so that's great.
What's that?
They won. Yeah. Seahawks won, so we feel good about that.
I know, but I'd like to hear from other people that either go to the game. Is the theory that just the people there in the club section just don't stand because they don't need to or were in the wrong section? I was just disappointed. Just disappointed.
Maybe they were just nervous around your celebrity, right?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want to offend you in any way.
I saw the guy from Home Improvement. What's his name?
Tim Allen.
Kern. What's his name?
Oh, sidekick.
Al Borland.
Yeah.
Does he still have a beard?
Yes. Yeah.
Good for him. He's sticking with it.
All the celebrities are there.